Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am Laura. Marty is joining from, I don't know where you are. Are you in Philadelphia?
On the outskirts of Philadelphia, but yes, essentially Philly.
You're participating in what's going to be the Thanksgiving Day Dog Show.
Yes, but don't tell anybody. It's not on Thanksgiving Day. It's televised on Thanksgiving Day.
Yes.
But the judging is done on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Saturday and Sunday before Thanksgiving Day. And everybody knows who won, but don't tell, because then you're going to ruin the surprise. And I think it's pretty remarkable that they've done such a good job keeping it a surprise, because like Westminster, the morning after Westminster, Good Morning America has a dog on. Everybody has a dog on. And if you don't have your TV turned off and you hadn't watched Westminster, you're not going to know. There's no way for you to avoid knowing who it was.
No spoiler alerts, people. No spoiler alerts.
Don't tell who wins this weekend.
Well, I think this episode's going to drop, so people will have seen you with your dog at the National Dog Show.
I hope so.
I think so. So if you haven't already watched the National Dog Show, go back and watch for Marty talking about her Danish-Swedish farm dogs. She will definitely be there.
Right. We'll have some press releases. We'll be at NBC. We'll be tooling around. Olga, my old girl, and I will be on TV. We were on TV yesterday at the local station for Philadelphia, and I'm going to be tooling around with the old
like a media old superstar. Girl. That's all you are. You are such a queen.
No. I'm just lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time for this. Yep. Olga is my 12-year-old Danish Swedish farm dog, and she has been waiting her whole life. Well, I don't know if she's actually
for
that excited
TV
about
debut.
Exactly. So she's 12 and a half, and I'm really excited that she still looks awesome, because every time I put her on the table and say to the judge, she's 12, the judge says, don't lie to me. I'm like, no, really, she's 12. So she looks really great. She needs a little Clairol on her muzzle to really kind of get rid of a little bit of the gray. But
y'all need a little help. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah, there's nothing wrong with covering up a little gray.
Little hair filler. Awesome. Okay. Well, Marty and I wanted to talk to you guys today because the holidays are coming up. All the holidays, all the big holidays, everything is upon us. It is, as they say, that time of year. There are advent calendars, and there are parties, and there are cooking bonanzas, and our dogs and our cats, even our goldfish sometimes, generally look at us like, WTF, why don't I get a cookie? And they get in trouble because they're not supposed to eat all those things, right? So we wanted to give you guys fun stuff to do with your pets for the holidays.
Right. And we all need to be careful with what we eat at the holidays, dog, cat, or us. But
that freshman 40 that hits over Christmas vacation.
Yeah. Packs right on. So there's a lot of really fun things that you can do. And a lot of people already use canned pumpkin or other forms of pumpkin for their pets, especially if they have GI upset. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful product for dogs to eat. Now, the really unfortunate thing that I'm going to break some people's hearts here is canned pumpkin is really generally not pumpkin. Most of the time what's in the can labeled as pumpkin is some other kind of squash. So it's still squash and it's still natural and it's still good for your dog and it's still good and, you know, it's got a high fiber content. It's good if they have a little GI upset, a little loose stool, but it's almost always not pumpkin. So sorry to break your little hearts,
Marty,
folks.
Marty, it's, you guys have to know, Marty always messes with my head. This is like her thing. She just wants to blow my brain up. I've been making indeterminate squash pie for all these years.
You have. I'm sorry to tell you. Unless you buy a real pumpkin that's called a pie pumpkin, you take it home and you cut it and you slice it and put it in your oven and you scoop it out and make it yourself. It's probably not pumpkin. And that is my goal for every time I do an episode. We just did one at the clinic in Lemira at our health clinic. And we televised it. It's called Stuff We Bet You Didn't Know About Dogs. Mm-hmm. And my goal in every single presentation is for somebody in the room that's, no matter how much experience they have, they can have 40 years of experience, for me to say, did you know this? And have them go, well, slap my face, I had no idea. So that is my goal every single time, Laura.
Yeah, but I think you make it sort of like a personal thing, try to get me.
Totally. Just under the skin. Yeah. So,
unfortunately, and we have dogs participating in our dog podcast. Thank you, Olga.
Someone made some noise out in the hall. We have 7 dogs with us here at the dog show. So, yes. What are you going to say? So, yes, that is not really pumpkin. But nevertheless, squash, canned squash, real squash, any kind of
pumpkin,
pumpkin squash, whatever it is, delicata squash, acorn squash, butternut squash, I don't care what it is. They're wonderful things for your dogs to eat as long as you cook them correctly and take the seeds out and the skin and all that stuff. And it's remarkable to me how much cats like pumpkin. Back when my kittens were young, I would have a pumpkin and scoop it out for the kids to make a jack-o'-lantern. And the cats would come over and just start gobbling up that stringy, pumpkin-y stuff without the seeds. So cats really like it, too. So there's no reason that you can't share those things with your cats.
Chickens really love. When the pumpkin dies after Halloween, if you have chickens, you can take it to your backyard chickens.
They go out and peck around on it. And yeah, it's pretty fun. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can do. And of course, many people have turkey and chicken and some kind of poultry at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Duck, whatever your family tradition happens to be. And I do, I am sort of known in my family. When my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law finish with the turkey, they get ready to throw the carcass away, the bones and all that stuff. And I'm like, no, no, no. And so now my brother-in-law knows that he just puts it in a bag and I take it home with me and I cook it in my kitchen, in my Instant Pot, in my crock pot, on my stovetop, whatever it happens to be, with celery and carrots. And then you can take all the bones, and if you put them through your pressure cooker on 3 or 4 45-minute cycles, they will crumble in your hands, so you could feed those to your dogs and cats. But you don't want to feed the bones to them unless you have literally got it to the point that they are pulverized, because they can cause pretty bad GI upset. But I cook the chicken or the turkey or the duck carcass down with no onions, but with celery and carrots. And then I go through it after it cools. I save the stock for myself to make gravy for the next time. Mm-hmm. And I let my dogs eat the veggies. And the celery and the carrots, the dogs love. They know in the kitchen when it's cooking. Like, they're all clustered around me waiting for something wonderful to happen. In fact, I just did a chicken before we came. I buy the Costco $4.99 chicken, you know, that they put at the back of the store. So you go to Costco and have to walk all the way to the back so that you buy other stuff while you're there. But I made all that and I brought the celery and the carrots with us for the dogs to have added to their food, and the little bits of cartilage and the little bits of chicken or turkey, whatever that's left. And the dogs and the cats love this stuff. It's really fun for them. But you want to dole it out in small doses. You don't want to give them, you know, 2 giant whole things of celery and a whole bag of carrots, because that's a little too much for their little tummies to handle. But with small amounts of that, you can pop it in your freezer, you can pop it in your fridge, and if you feed it in small amounts, the dogs love it and the cats love it too.
Small amounts, you're talking about a teaspoon in their food, not three cups.
Not 3 cups, because then you're going to be calling the Marty show and
complaining about your dog having GI upset or possibly some sort of indiscretion on your living room carpet. So
I save the stock. I pop it in my freezer. Yep. I have it for soups or stews or gravies or whatever you want. Because I did take cooking classes from a classically trained French chef. So I have an affinity for saving all those pieces.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised at the amount of food that people throw out. So this is an opportunity for you to share some of those things. And if your carrots are a little wilted, it's fine to put in the stock pot and it's fine to feed to the dogs. Now, moldy is a different conversation. Slimy is a different conversation. But a little wilty is not going to hurt anybody. So the leaves on the celery, cut the heart out, wash the dirt out, put it in your Instant Pot or your crock pot or whatever you do. And it's really fun because the dogs and the cats love, love, love this. And they will be very big fans. And you can use a lot of these things that ordinarily people would throw away as a really good food source. And then you've got the stock and the gravy and all the yummy parts for yourself. So.
I think most of us, when we have a fancy holiday meal, whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever we're celebrating, we want our pets to be able to celebrate with us. It's a pretty normal reaction. Like, I know every single holiday, I sneak a little bit of mashed potatoes and a little bit of whatever. And I put it in there, but like, they don't get to eat from the table. There's rules. You know, we're not animals here. But everybody's bowl gets just like a little dollop of a little something. So we all feel like we're celebrating together. And I think that was a really big thing that I wanted us to talk about today. As we go into the holidays, as we think about all the ways that we're going to celebrate, and, you know, it's, things are a little rough. Maybe we're skimpy on our celebration. So there's ways that we can incorporate and make do and extend what we have to share with her.
Right. You don't have to go buy an expensive can of dog food that says Grammy's Pot Pie on it to make this happen. Yeah. You can very easily do pieces of those things. So, you know, not the potato skins, not the corn cobs, not the bones, not the fat. But if you're careful with what you're doing, you can do that very effectively, and it doesn't cost you a lot of money, and your pets are going to be fine, and they're going to have a lot of fun. Now, when you're done cooking the turkey carcass or the chicken carcass or the duck or whatever it happens to be, the ham, whatever, make sure that you put those bits and pieces that are left over in a garbage can that the dog or cat can't get into. Don't leave your turkey thawing in the sink so that the cat gets up on the sink and then the dog realizes that it's there. And then, you know, cats are really good at being partners in crime with dogs. They go onto the countertop and they push things off, and then the dog gets the whole turkey or the whole ham or whatever. So, you know, that box on your countertop that you think has digital buttons and a handle on it that you call a microwave, that's really where you store food. Yes, a food locker so that dogs and cats can't get into it. But if you're careful with things, so put your garbage in a locking garbage can or take it straight out to the trash and in the garage or out on the street so that the dog or the cat can't get into it.
So there's the dogs that can open. Like, I have all of my garbage cans are in closed doors. I do know of dogs who can open the closed doors. And it's going to be embarrassing. And, you know, if you're 50 years old and have no infants in your home and your friends come over and there's childproof locks, on all your cupboards, it might be embarrassing to tell why, but that's a thing.
It is. And even those little ones that you have to push down, the dogs can pretty quickly figure out how to do those. Those garbage cans that have the electric eye on them that are opening.
Oh, they totally know how to do those.
Those are handy for you, but the dog is like all over it, man. I got this. So you've got to be careful. You almost have to get those childproof locks that require a magnet that you take the magnet and you pass it over. Yeah. Because otherwise the dogs.
The thing that we say, my dog is smarter than your honor student, like truly. And honestly, your dog can figure things out that your toddler cannot. So,
well, but you spend 10 minutes trying to fix a problem, and then your dog spends the next 23 hours and 50 minutes trying to unfix what you just fixed. So you have to be pretty wise to that. So just be careful. And even the netting on the turkey, the plastic on the turkey, and then there's those little plastic things that hold the little turkey legs together so that they hold all the giblets and everything inside. We actually had a dog that ingested one of those a number of years ago. We took the dog to surgery to take it out, and I couldn't figure out what it was. It was this oval thing with these spikes in the middle of it, and it had a patent number on it. And this was in the early days of the internet. So I typed in the patent number because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what this was, and that's what it was that plastic piece that the deli puts on to keep the legs together. So the dogs will eat those things because it tastes like chicken. And it's not good for your dog to eat. It's not good for your cat to eat. So just be aware of those things. And the other thing that people might not think of is bread dough rising on the countertop. So if you have rolls or bread dough or, you know, any of those products that are frozen and you have to thaw and the dog gets into the thawing bread dough and eats the whole thing, it will continue to expand and produce gas in your dog's stomach and can produce some pretty significant problems. Now, cats won't usually eat that, but, you know, there are cats that'll do the same thing dogs do.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized Puppy Matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
We have good ideas for what we can make baked goods for our pets. I have a whole Facebook page called Auntie Laura. It has all kinds of recipes for people cooking on a budget, whatever. But it also has pet cookie recipes and all kinds of fun stuff like that. And essentially, the sugar cookies, quote unquote, right, that we make for the holidays, cut out the sugar. And it's just the flour and the water and the butter and eggs or whatever you're using. Those are all perfectly acceptable for your pet to eat. You just eliminate not all the salt because you need it for rising and eliminate any sugar. And another trick that people might not know, if you're using butter or margarine or Crisco or, you know, those sorts of things as a fat in your baking, in many, many cases, you can replace at least half of that with unsweetened applesauce. And that will give you the moisture, right, that you're trying to get from the fat content. And without the fat content. And that's great for your dogs.
Right. And you can go to the apple orchard and buy windfall apples and make your own applesauce. I mean, there's so many things that you can do if you just have the time and you're willing to do it. Is windfall apples, there's nothing wrong with them. That just means they fell out of the tree. They didn't go out and pick them. And so they're sort of a second-class apple, but you can get them at the grocery store. You can get them at the orchards. Pumpkin does a great job making cookies for dogs. So there's a lot of really great things that you can do without a bunch of money and without a bunch of really high tech stuff. And there's so many fun recipes. And I know you've got a lot of them on the, Facebook.
We'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah.
But, you know, make cutouts of dog bones. Every year I make some cookies for the dogs and they're in dog bone shapes.
Do they care?
No, they don't. But it makes me happy.
Of course they don't
care. I'm a little bit bougie. Come on, man. Give me a minute.
But they're fine with whatever shape you feed them, as long as you
I understand, but it's fun. You know, the other thing that you can do is, you know, when you're rolling out your cookies, right, you're doing all the stuff, and no matter what, there's always a few that are kind of burnt or a little bent, spindled, and mutilated, right? I set those aside because they're always before I've put the frosting on them. And those are for the pets. Those are the dogs.
Yep. And peanut butter makes great treats for dogs.
Yep.
So, and again, you don't have to
buy
the expensive
oatmeal and applesauce and pumpkin.
Yeah.
Those all four of those can be used in various combinations to make really fantastic pet treats that are cheaper, healthier, and easier on your pet than anything you can buy in the store.
Right. And at the clinic, we use ginger snaps by the bucket load. I go to the dollar store and buy like 40 bags at a time. Mm-hmm. And ginger really, that settles the dog's stomach. They love ginger. Cinnamon, when I got my most recent litter of puppies, I started doing some scenting for them when they were really like
scent,
3 days old.
Scent action,
Yeah. And they loved cinnamon. Like they would jam their nose into the cinnamon jar. So cinnamon, ginger, some of those really inexpensive spices, and the, you know, the dollar store and Walmart have like dollar jars of these things. So it's not expensive.
Here's my pro tip. It doesn't work everywhere, but Winco is a food store by us that has a bulk section. It has bulk spices, y'all. And so you go and you fill up your little plastic baggie with whatever and bring it home and put it in the corresponding little doodad jar that costs $5 billion when you buy it in the regular spice jar. Pro tip, find yourself a little, you know, Fruby Art Major store somewhere that has bulk spices and you will save a gazillion dollars.
Right. And watch Penzies. Penzies often puts some really great prices on their spices. Overall, Penzies can be a little
pricey.
But if you get signed up for their emails, they send once a week these amazing discounts. So if you're really cost conscious, you can do some great things. And the other thing is sometimes the grocery stores will discard or discount their produce that's a little iffy. Like it's not bad, it's not moldy, but it's just not perfect. And there's also websites that you can buy imperfect foods and other things.
Yep.
And so you can get some great prices on healthy foods. And it doesn't matter if it's pears or apples or carrots or whatever. Really, the fruits and vegetables dogs can't eat are going to be grapes and raisins because of toxicity. And corn cobs, of course, are dangerous. And potatoes are kind of starchy. So those are the things I would avoid. But otherwise, gosh.
I'm sorry. My doctor's going to get a tablespoon of mashed potatoes at the holidays, and that's just all there is to it. Meh.
And it's fine. I mean, mashed potatoes are fine for them. Just watch the amount of fat that you put in them.
Yeah.
And then again, you know, be careful if you cook down the carcass that you don't put the fat someplace that the dog can get it. There are now treatments, a specific treatment called Panquel for dogs with pancreatitis. So we have new treatments that we've only had for the last couple of years. So if you previously had a dog with pancreatitis, then there is a newer treatment that does a great job of keeping the dog out of the hospital and not costing you as much. So we have some really great things that we can do should the best
plans go awry. It happens to the best of us, man. Okay, so another one that we thought of, and obviously not everyone's going to have a Christmas tree in their house, but there's going to be holiday decorations of some shape, form, or fashion for everybody. And so one of the things that we talked about is putting your not very fragile ornaments on the lower part of the tree where the pets can get into them. I liked that. Putting jingle bells. I loved that. If you have cats, or even dogs, really, putting jingle bells kind of on the lower branches because then they tell on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go over and they start sniffing around or their tail wags and they start mm-hmm. to hit the bells. Mm-hmm. There's an alert to you that something's going on. The second thing is unwrap your candy canes and put those on the bottom of the tree. So if the dog does eat it, they don't get the cellophane and it's not going to hurt them. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing I always do, not just because of my dog, but because of my husband. One time the dog knocked over the tree. One time my husband knocked over the tree, shutting the front door. So I always take the top branch of the tree and tether it to a plant hook in the ceiling. Because when he came in one day, he slammed the front door and the tree went dook, straight over. So if you have really beautiful ornaments that are heirlooms and fragile.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You don't want those falling over and getting broken. So you may have to put the bells on the tree to alert yourself that your husband has walked in the door and doesn't know how to, like, delicately close the front door.
Were you burning a barn?
Yes. Yeah. I think he probably was. I mean, he's from Wisconsin. Who knows? So those are some really simple things that you can do to keep your tree and your ornaments safe. Even if you have toddlers, if you have young children, any little that might be around the tree. Kittens, oh my God, kittens. When you bring a tree into the house, the kitten is sure that you have moved the forest into your house just for their enjoyment. So they're
pretty sure the dog thinks it is too. I mean, hey, let's make our mark right here. Yeah.
And if you have a real tree and you put water in the tree, the base that you hold the tree in, there are additives to put in the water. Those can be sometimes not safe for dogs. So just use plain water. Don't use anything, you know, crazy. But those are some really simple things that you can do to make it fun. And then if you do have gifts that people have shipped to you or you have wrapped gifts yourself that you know that it's food inside, don't kid yourself. The dog knows there's food in the package. And they will, when you're not paying attention, go over and unwrap it. A couple of years ago, we had a client that Oh, yeah. A couple of years ago, we had a client that bought chocolate-covered raisins for her father, and because it was raisins and chocolate, it did not go well. It was an expensive Christmas for her because the $10 bag of raisins that were chocolate-covered ended up being a very expensive bill. So if
because
you have
the dog ate them and it was poisonous, and that's bad.
Yeah. So if people are shipping you gifts, just request that they let you know if it's got food in it so that you don't put it under the tree and then go to work or go in the office to do your Zoom call or whatever it happens to be and not be aware that the dog has been plotting their activity for the day. Because again, you spend 5 minutes putting it under the tree and the dog spends 23 hours and 55 minutes going, whoa, baby, this is delicious.
Here's another sort of pro tip from someone who's had holidays and dogs, lots of dogs, lots of years. If you have a pet, you may still have its puppy pen, right? A little exercise pen or a little whatever. And that makes a fantastic little scene that you can decorate in front of the Christmas tree.
Yes.
And keeps the dog from going. It doesn't do much for cats, but it does work on dogs most of the time.
Right. Cats are right over it, up the tree, up the trunk, up to the top. You find the kitten out on the top branch.
Yeah.
Can't help you with that.
Yeah. I've never had a cat and Christmas tree. I've never had that. And the thought actually gives me kind of like hives. So,
oh, it's not.
I'm a no on that.
Laura. You just have to know that cats are going to do those things and then plan accordingly.
No, I'm just saying no. Cats don't know the word no. And that's where cats and I have like a meeting of the minds that doesn't necessarily happen.
Yeah, but they're so much fun. They're so entertaining. If you get two kittens, you don't need to turn on the television at night. You don't need to go on the internet or play a video game.
I think the same thing with two puppies, man.
Yeah, you just wind up the kittens and let them go.
I can get the same thing with two puppies. I'm good. I could just go turn Agatha and Ruthie loose right now. And if I still had a standing television when they were done, it would... It'd be great.
Point well made.
So anyway, there's ways to protect your holiday decorations. I would personally recommend that if you have super important, really favorite, delicate, breakable items, that they be displayed in a room that you can put a baby gate and just keep the pets out.
Yeah, yeah, put them on the mantle where the cat and dog don't go. Put them someplace that you can still enjoy them and not spend your whole Christmas holiday or holiday season really fretting about, because you should be able to enjoy them. But
I have certain things from my mom that are just really, really special, and they just go in one credenza that... So people see them when they come in, and I'm able to enjoy the memories that they create, and I don't have to worry about Ruthie bouncing off of it and making it shatter. So, which case I would cry. So there, that's that.
Yeah, for sure.
There's one other thing that I wanted to remind people that is a fun thing to do. Snow is coming.
Yes, it is. I think we forgot not to put tinsel on your tree and not to put angel hair on your tree.
Other way.
Well, let's not forget that.
Tinsel,
so snow
tinsel's
is coming.
Icky. Find another thing to decorate with. Tinsel's bad.
And angel hair. Yeah, angel hair is bad too. In your
popcorn.
World, snow is
strings of popcorn, those are actually okay.
If they don't eat the string. Just the popcorn. Mm. So in your world, snow might be coming, but in my world, snow has come.
Yes.
We've already had a little bit of a blizzard. We had 10 inches in Chicago. So
I probably won't see snow all year. So
you poor thing.
It's a theoretical concept. There's snow coming to other people.
Yeah. But Bernese Mountain Dogs, Huskies.
All dogs.
All dogs. But especially double-coated dogs that are from northern climates love the snow. Now, I have Danish Swedish farm dogs, which are from northern climates, but they don't have a double coat, and they go out there and look at the snow like it might kill them. So you have to put a coat on them for them to go outside. It's kind of embarrassing.
The fire hairs think that snow is like literally, literally manna from heaven. Like, they think it is amazing.
Oh,
most
of
my dogs have always thought that.
They're right until it gets to be 20 below.
Yeah.
At 20 below, it loses its charm.
Yes.
For all of us.
That's why I don't live in Nebraska anymore, honey.
Yes, I have.
I did that. It sucked. I left. That's all I got.
For sure.
So no thank you on that. But snow's a lot of fun. The dogs love to play in it. You guys can make snow angels, watch for snowballs in their feet, or if it's super, super cold and they're just like picking up those feet, you know, there are some risks to frostbite on their little toes. So.
Right. And they can't walk on 2 feet for very long, but a lot of them try. They try to walk on their front feet. They try to walk on their back feet. They try to do 2 feet. And when you do put out your snow and ice, the stuff you put
pet
down.
Safe.
Yeah, pet safe, cat litter, sawdust, wood pellets, something that are safe. But just trimming the hair out from between the toes of the dogs so that they don't develop snowballs is very helpful, unless you have a cavalier and you have to leave the hair. Because that's what they're required to have to be in, you know, certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you can, make sure that it's pretty safe. I have clients that have to go out and shovel a little path around their yard so the dog can go out because the snow is deeper than the dog is tall. So, yeah. Welcome to the wonderful world of Wisconsin and the surrounding states.
Yeah. Been there. Done that. Left. 2009 blizzard, when the blizzard came and the snow fell and then the wind came and the snowdrifts were taller than my yard fence.
Yeah, when the dogs can walk over the fence, you know you're in trouble.
I'm a hard hell no on snow. This yeah. much snow. It's okay.
Yeah.
Snow but over the there that I can it. Go visit, it's great.
Right. But the dogs love it, and we need to respect the fact that they do have fun,
do
but just
it.
Be careful. And then if you do have outside pets, like you have outdoor cats mm-hmm. that you take care of, make sure that they have access to water mm-hmm. when the snow is deep and the weather is so cold that the ice will freeze in the bowls. Make sure that you have a heated bowl or that you're adding water a couple of times a day to your bird bath, to your cat watering station for your outdoor dogs if you have those, so that they do have access to water. Because eating snow is not enough hydration for a dog or a cat or a bird or a whatever happens to live outside at your house, chickens or whatever you happen to have. Yeah, we've been watching TV all week, and there's all these people that have these romantic ideas about owning chickens. And I'm watching the TV going, what? Do they really think chickens are? Yeah, they're a lot of work. So you have to make sure that you are giving them access to the water and that they're staying warm and all yeah. the stuff. So
the
remember your outdoor pets.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, Marty. You have fun there.
Thanks.
We will make sure that we look for you on the National Dog Show and yeah, practice your wave. That's good. Excellent. All right. We'll talk to you again next week, Marty. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog, and we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor. Please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.